ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कार्यकेन्द्रं गिरिरारिवन्या अक्रं यहस्तेन सहस्रबाहु हस्तो दिविब्रह्मपतेन्द्रमुख्याय अभीष्टुवाद्भिः सुमानो भविष्ठा.
Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara Mountain, like another great mountain, and held Mandara Mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, the King of Heaven, and other demigods, offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. To balance Mandara Mountain while it was being pulled from both sides, the Lord Himself appeared on its summit like another great mountain. Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and King Indra then expanded themselves and showered flowers on the Lord. Translation: Manifesting himself with thousands of hands, the Lord then appeared on the summit of Mandara Mountain, like another great mountain, and held Mandara Mountain with one hand. In the upper planetary systems, Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, along with Indra, King of Heaven, and other demigods, offered prayers to the Lord and showered flowers upon him. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, the Brahma Mohan Leela. The greatest of the demigods, Lord Brahma, who is factually the father of all living beings within this material creation. At the very beginning of creation of this universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead expanded himself to live within this particular universe as Garbhodakshayi Vishnu. From his navel grew a beautiful lotus flower, and upon that lotus flower the great Atmabhu, Lord Brahma, was born. Atmabhu means that he was not born like an ordinary living being. He had no mother. He was never within the womb of any female. But rather, simply by the divine will of Lord Narayan, he appeared within the whirl of this beautiful lotus flower. At that time, he was alone. He had no company, he had no friends, he had no associates. All around he was looking, and there was simply darkness. There were no planets. There was nothing except empty, lonely space. Lord Brahma did not know what to do. He did not know where to go. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from within his heart, spoke. Tene Brahma Hridaya Adakavaye Mayanti Atsuraya. Sarvasya chaham hridishan nivishto matasmitir jnanam apohanam cha vidaishta sarve raham eva vedyo vedant krit veda vedeva shaham. Krishna is within the heart of every living being, and he is the source of all knowledge, all remembrance, and all forgetfulness. Sarva karana karanam. He is the cause of all causes. So from within the heart of Lord Brahma, two syllables were spoken by Lord Hari, Tapa. And Lord Brahma, being given the intelligence by the Lord to understand these words, began to perform very, very serious tapasya. And through the performance of that tapasya, he gained the favor of the Lord. And then Lord Narayan, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, through his expansion of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu, the Lord within his heart, had given Lord Brahma the proper intelligence by which he could be utilized as the instrument of God. And then the Lord gave him the direction that I want you to create all planets and all species of life within each planet and everything that is required for the maintenance of all species of life within each planet. And being a surrendered instrument in my hands, all things are possible. Now we must understand that Lord Brahma is generally a jivatma, a personality who has such astounding karma that the Lord can put him in such a very, very high post within this universe. You know, it is said in the Shastra that if there is no living being who has the proper karmic qualifications to take the post of Lord Brahma, then at that time Lord Vishnu himself incarnates and becomes Lord Brahma. But in the particular instance that is being spoken of in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading about a very, very pure and empowered jivatma. Jivatma means a spirit soul who qualitatively and quantitatively is identical to ourselves. Now, can you imagine being given an instruction like this? He had no facilities. Let us take the position of a devotee. When he's given an order by his spiritual master, sometimes we complain, but I have no facilities. I have no money. I have no property. I have no associates to work with me. How can you expect me to do this? Besides that, I'm not very intelligent. This service is way beyond my intelligence. Besides that, I'm not very skillful, and this service takes someone who has tremendous amount of experience. And besides that, I'm not very spiritual advanced, and to do this service takes a very, very advanced devotee. And besides that, I don't even like the idea of this service, and this service takes someone who has enthusiasm to want to do it. Sometimes we feel like this. Lord Brahma could have also felt like this. Can you imagine if you were given the instruction, if you were sitting alone in the darkness, and you were told to create all the planets within the universe? Huh? What would you do? Pradyumna, what would you do? Pradyumna, create all the planets within the universe, create all 8,400,000 species of life, and create everything upon each planet to provide for the maintenance of all 8,400,000 species of life. Rupa Goswami, what would you do if you were given an instruction like this? Lord Brahma, he was a powerless living being, just sitting alone, and he was given an instruction like this. But along with the instruction, if we are willing to surrender, comes the empowerment and all the facilities to execute that instruction. Krishna gave the instruction. Krishna gave the intelligence. Krishna gave the ability. Krishna gave the strength. Krishna gave all the facilities and the ingredients. Krishna gave everything. In fact, Krishna did it himself. Lord Brahma was simply the surrendered instrument in his hands. Prakrite kriyamana nibunai karamari sarabasha ahankara vimutatma karata hamiti manyate. The that the bewildered spirit Saul thinks himself to be the doer of his activities. But actually everything is being carried out by nature, and nature is working under the direction of Sri Krishna. So we might think, oh, well, that's Lord Brahma, that's not me. Yes, he surrendered and Krishna empowered him, but it was easy for him because Krishna empowered him. But if you read the Srimad Bhagavatam, it was not easy for Brahma. He had to face so many difficulties. He had to face so many dangers in the execution of his service to the Lord. We read in the third canto that after he started from his body by the arrangement of God, he didn't really understand how it was happening. He was just acting as a surrendered instrument. It is described that from various parts of his body, various types of living beings were born. The Kumaras, who were so divinely intelligent, they were born from his mind. They took birth from his mind. Therefore, the Kumaras were possessed with incredible intelligence. And then Lord Brahma instructed them to marry and help him propagate all the different species of life, become Prajapatis. But the Kumaras, they did not want to marry. They wanted to remain Brahmacharis. Of course, it is described that if you are on the level of such great souls as the four Kumaras, then you can disobey your guru in this matter. But if you are not on that level, you are safer to simply obey guru in all matters. So the Kumaras said, no, I will not. And then Lord Brahma became so angry. And from his anger, from between his eyebrows, Lord Shiva was born. In this way, through this process, the various great demigods and the various species of life were born from the various parts of Brahma's body. And at one stage, from his rear side, the demons and the rakshasas were born. And these demons and rakshasas, they were so grossly influenced by the mode of ignorance that they looked at their own father, Brahma, and decided that they wanted to have sex with him. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport of this verse in the third canto that this is the original homosexuality. These demoniac people wanted to have sex with their own father, his own sons. In fact, in America, you know, homosexuality is very, very popular, becoming more and more every day. In every city, several times a year, there's parades where sometimes thousands, tens and thousands of people, males and females, who are of this particular type of sense gratification, they just start dancing with each other and just to show the world that this is the highest. And this is actually their philosophy, that this is the highest. They do not like the Hare Krishna movement at all because we're against sense gratification. Their idea is sense gratification is the highest, and of all forms of sense gratification, this type is the highest. So, it's very popular. There are literally millions and millions and millions of such people with this type of perverted conception of how to enjoy within America. And, of course, the devotees, they are very compassionate upon everybody. They want to somehow or other elevate everybody. So I know some devotees, and what they did is they decided we should distribute books to these people too. Prabhupada's books should go to them too. So they have, the name for homosexuals in America is gay. Do you call them that here in India? They are called gay. If you are gay, that means you are homosexual. I remember when I was just a teenager, I was in California alone, and somebody came up to me and said, are you gay? And I thought they meant happy. I didn't know about these intricate uses of English language. I said, yes, I am gay. And then he started looking at me like, aha, so am I. And then I went, I'm not gay anymore. And I ran away. I was just about 16 at the time. I said, actually, I'm quite miserable. And I just started running. So... So they have these gay newspapers. And they are specially designed only for these people. And they're national newspapers. It's centered out of San Francisco, which is the capital of this perversion in America. And what they did is they put an ad in the paper that read the book 5,000 years old that describes the original gay experience. The original homosexual experience in this whole creation found in the ancient scriptures of India. Just send $10 to this particular address. And what it was a post office address where nobody could really trace it down. You just come in and pick up your mail, and we will send you the book. So what happened is so many people, my God, these people were thinking, this, can you imagine? We can trace out our roots. We can trace out our real heritage and find out the original gay people. This is wonderful. And then they all got Prabhupada's books where it describes these rakshasas, demons chasing after Brahma, their own father, for sex. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that this means that homosexuality is born of demoniac consciousness, and anyone who is inclined toward these things is simply influenced by being demons. Huh? And therefore, there's nothing more to be said about it than this, Prabhupada said, and it's simply demoniac. And they all got these books. They all paid $10 in advance. And they got these books. And they say, what is this? They say we're demons. They became very angry. But then after sending all the books, they closed the post office box and they could never trace them down. And in this way, Sankirtan movement went on. So, but they were enlightened. They gave some donation and they read Prabhupada's books. Whether they liked it or not, they were certainly purified. Now, when these sons of Brahma attacked him, they were very, very powerful. And they were chasing after Brahma. He was very afraid. He started running away. It was a very dangerous and embarrassing situation. In fact, he had to run away to such an extent that ultimately he could not get away from these rakshasas, these demons. He had to give up that particular physical form and accept another one to escape from them. So do not think that if you surrender to the Lord that everything will be easy, then everyone will simply be showering you with flowers saying, ah, you have surrendered. All glories to your lotus feet. It is not like that. Krishna gave Brahma the protection. Even in that very, very dangerous situation, he protected him because he was engaged in his loving service. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Sarva dharman puritya ja mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papemyo moksha ishami masucha. You abandon all varieties of religion, you surrender to me, do not fear. If you simply execute my will, if you simply do my desire, then you have nothing to fear, because I will protect you. Sometimes the Lord gives us a particular service which appears to be very, very entangling, very difficult, very unwanted. Sometimes it appears to be a service that, how can I do it? Krishna says, just surrender. I will preserve what you have. I will carry what you lack. Ananya chintayanto mam ye jana paryupashate tesham nitya vyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyam. But if you're not surrendered, if you're simply doing what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, then Krishna will just, okay, you do it your way. You work it out. You're on your own. Then you have no protection anywhere. But if you surrender to the will of God, our faith is based on the promise of the Lord and the words of all the great acharyas, that you have nothing to fear. Because even if it is completely an irrational concept, Krishna will protect you. There is no doubt. He will not only protect you, it does not mean he will make things easy for you. He may give you great tests. He may make it very difficult with great tapasya, After all, Lord Brahma became empowered through the process of tapasya. It's not that he simply was given that position. He had to qualify himself for the mercy of the Lord. And how did he qualify himself? By accepting those things which he did not like to do to please Krishna. That is tapasya. And by that tapasya, he pleased the Lord, and then the Lord empowered him. And after he empowered him in the execution of his duty, there was so much more tapasya. So if this is how Krishna deals with the first and original of all living beings, we have to understand that Lord Brahma is both physically as well as spiritually our great, 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 with many more great, grandfather. From the material point of view, he is the great grandfather of every living being, because everyone is ultimately born from him within this universe. So sometimes we have our family line, but it begins with Lord Brahma within this creation. And spiritually, Lord Brahma is the first spiritual master in our line. So therefore, he is our grandfather, both materially and spiritually. And as it is said in English, like father, like son, we are supposed to become like him. And therefore, Lord Krishna puts him in the situation that he expects all of us to be willing to surrender to. First, Lord Brahma heard from his guru. His guru happened to be Paramatma, Krishna. The guru told him to perform tapasya. He performed tapasya. And then he was empowered by Guru and Krishna to fulfill the order of Guru and Krishna. And in the execution of the order, he was willing to tolerate all difficulties and all problems. But he never gave up. Lord Brahma didn't decide, this creation is too difficult. My own sons are trying to rape me. I will become a Babaji and go move to... I will create Vrindavan and then I will become Babaji. Huh? He wasn't thinking like this. If his guru told him, go do this, then he would be very happy to do it, believe me. But his guru wanted him to accept such a difficult responsibility. And the test of his surrender, the test of the qualification for him to actually be dear to Krishna, is he was willing to execute the mission of his guru. So in this way, Lord Brahma, the most intelligent creator, was empowered by the Lord. But then it is described in the Brahma Mohan Leela how even this greatest Lord Brahma, he was humiliated by Krishna. Because you see, sometimes when God empowers us to do great things, we become proud. And in that pride, our service attitude is diminished. And Krishna, who is very kind within the heart, when he knows that we are sincere, after all, we're jivas. So we are subjected to being overcome by higher powers. But because Krishna is so merciful, even when he sees such a great jiva as Brahma being temporarily overpowered, he is always there to protect him. And sometimes he protects you by smashing you, by humiliating you. So Lord Brahma was becoming a little proud. I am the father, I am the creator, everyone is depending on me. I am the instrument, but yes, 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 but still, look at what I am doing. So Lord Brahma, he wanted to test who is this Krishna. By stealing the cowherd boys and the calves. And of course, we know the story. How Krishna expanded himself as each calf and each cowherd boy. And then Lord Brahma came down and he saw them all. And he was bewildered. How is this possible? And then right before his eyes, each calf and each cowherd boy transformed into the four-armed form of Narayan. And each one had so many of the demigods, the sages, all worshipping him. All around. And Lord Brahma was thinking, my God, he could not believe what he was saying. He was totally illusioned, bewildered. And then it all disappeared, and there was Krishna. So Lord Brahma came down and offered his obeisances. His pride was smashed by the will of the Lord. In the story of the Govardhan Leela, even the great Lord Indra, his pride was completely smashed by the will of the Lord. So, Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, these greatest, most powerful living beings within all of the creation. You know, even demons like Hiranyakashipu, they got their powers from Brahma. Hiranyakashipu conquered every planet in the universe, but he would not go near Brahma Loka. That was the one planet that he would not touch because he knew that he could not withstand the power of Lord Brahma. That was out of his jurisdiction. Lord Brahma accepted at the time when Krishna revealed his true glory at Brahma Kund in Vrindavan. Lord Brahma admitted that, "My Lord, I am nothing before you. You are everything. You are the supreme controller. It is you who are doing and empowering everybody. All we can do is be your instruments. Our choice in life is whether we want to be an instrument in the hands of Maya or an instrument in the hands of Krishna." So here we find that all of the great demigods who are associating with the asuras, the demons, to churn this ocean of milk, they are having tremendous, tremendous difficulty. All of them combined, all the demons who were so powerful, even more powerful than the demigods at the time, and all the demigods who are controlling all the affairs of the planets of the universe, all together, they could not lift the mountain. So Lord Narayan lifted the mountain. All together, they could not keep the mountain from sinking in the ocean of milk. So Lord Narayan appeared as Kurmadev to support the mountain. All together, with all their joint powers and potencies and strengths, as they were churning, the top of the mountain began to tilt back and forth, and they were not able to do anything. So the Supreme Lord, how wonderful, he performs his divine leela. He appeared with thousands of hands. Now you may ask, why would he want to appear in such an incarnation with thousands of hands? It's a wonderful story, isn't it? He appeared with thousands of hands, and then with one of those thousands of hands, not all of them, but with simply one of them, he effortlessly was able to do what all the demons and all the demigods could not do with all their hands and all their bodies and all their strength to balance the mountain. Krishna is all powerful. You never see Krishna straining to do anything wonderful. Just like Srila Prabhupada, one time he was in New York City, and there's a place called the Rockefeller Center. And there's a very, very famous statue of Atlas. You have heard of Atlas? The symbol of strength in the Western world is the mighty Atlas. Atlas, I believe he was from one of the Greek stories, and Atlas was so powerful that he could hold the whole world on his shoulders. But he really had to strain. He was so powerful. So there's this big, big statue of the mighty Atlas, and he's holding the world on his shoulders, and his muscles, huge muscles, are bulging, and his face is, you could see, he's really, really straining hard. And when Prabhupada saw that, he said, just see this. People are thinking he's so strong. He's holding the world. Maybe you cannot hold the world like this. But look at how he's straining to hold the world. He said, when do you ever see Krishna straining? Krishna, in his mere expansion of Ananta Shesha, is holding all the universes on his heads, and he's not, his muscles are not bulging, and he's not straining. He's simply singing. He's constantly singing the glories of Lord Hari. Huh? Effortlessly. Similarly, when Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill, when he was only 7 years old, mighty Atlas was a grown man, fully developed. When Krishna lifted the Govardhan Hill with the little finger of his left hand at the age of 7, none of his muscles were bulging. He didn't even have muscles. He just had transcendental potency. And he lifted it up. And actually, one time, the devotees painted Krishna lifting Govardhan Hill or some painting, and they made nice muscles on Krishna. And Prabhupada saw this and he said, Krishna did not have these ugly muscles. He said, Krishna, he doesn't need these things for his power. He said, his body is very beautiful and very graceful and very soft. But yet, he's still the most powerful of all powerful. So he lifted the Govardhan Hill. He wasn't straining. 6 days, one more day left. He was just like looking at the Brijavasis. Ah, come, let us enjoy. In this way, Krishna is all-powerful. So all the demons and all the demigods, each one of them is millions of times more powerful than any of us. Huh? Each one of these personalities was such an incredible Maharati figure that we cannot even imagine. This took place in Satya Yuga, where people had huge steel-frame bodies. And these were the most powerful warriors in all of Kali Yuga, in all of Satya Yuga. And all of them, perhaps millions of them, all together, they could not keep this mountain sturdy. So Lord Narayan, he appeared just to show them how insignificant they were. Just to show them. He appeared with thousands and thousands and thousands of hands. And you're thinking, my God, look at all these hands. And then with just one of those thousands of hands, he did what all of them together could not do. He simply effortlessly, without any strain or struggle, he touched the mountain and held it right in place. That is the power of God. That is the unlimited strength of the Supreme Personality of God. And why does he appear in such ways? To show us that if you really want protection, take shelter of me. Why are you taking shelter of all these demons and demigods? Take shelter of me. Oh, you're taking shelter of your own potencies, your own intelligence, your own power? It is quite a joke. Krishna is revealing himself in such a way. Why? Just to show us who he is and to invite us to take shelter of him, to surrender to him. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Nam Nam Okari Bahuda Nidra Sarva Shaktis. That all of your potencies, all of your powers are within your name, O Lord Hari. That means all of the strength of God is within his name. And there is nothing. He is Ajita. He is unconquerable. There is no one or anything that can conquer Krishna. If we learn to take shelter of his name, then we become as unconquerable as Krishna, because we are protected by the lotus hands of Krishna. This does not necessarily mean our body. This means our soul. Krishna has created the material body, so whoever you are, it has to grow old, get diseased, and die. Even the greatest of the acharyas, their bodies went through these transformations. But the Lord always protected their soul. If he wants, he can protect the body also. But he guarantees, it is his promise, that if you surrender to me, if you sincerely call out my holy name, I will protect you. So it is very essential, it is very necessary to hear these wonderful stories of the Divine Lord's Leela. And to understand what is the significance of these beautiful stories. This narration by Shukadeva Goswami is specifically being spoken for the upliftment of all living beings within Kali Yuga. Krishne Swadhamo Bhagate Dharma Gyani Dibi Saha Kalona Stadrishamesha Purana Kodunoditaha. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavatam that after Lord Krishna left this planet and went back to Goloka Vrindavan, he descended within this Kali Yuga as the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam, to give light and hope to all living beings. So these great narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we hear them submissively and understand their real significance, then faith develops within our heart, and we understand faith as well as knowledge. Knowledge of what is the goal of life and how to attain it. To take shelter, to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process. And the final verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam describes the final verse explains that nama sankirtanaya priyaya. That means in this age of Kali Yuga, simply by chanting the name of the Lord and offering obeisances by rendering service to Him, one can attain the supreme perfection of life. Kalera dosani de raja nasti heku mahanguna kirtana deva krishnasya mukta sangha param vijay. That this age of Kali Yuga is filled with unlimited faults, but there is one great benediction. That anyone who simply takes shelter of the name of the Lord and accepts the process of kirtan will attain the perfection of liberation. That is the promise of Srimad Bhagavatam. But before giving this benediction, the Bhagavatam is narrating so many beautiful historical references of the almighty power of the Lord. And all that power, all that glory, all that love, all that mercy, all of His opulences are within His name. So why should we fear? Why should we doubt? Why should we aspire for anything else of this world? Why should we chase after the mirages, the illusions of this world that are promising us so much hope and happiness, but ultimately we will be condemned to frustration and ultimately death if we chase after the illusions of this world, the phantasmagoria of material existence? Why should we seek any security, any shelter, any happiness from those pleasures, from those forms, which are simply created for our suffering? Why not understand that the only shelter, the only refuge, the only happiness is in the service to the Lord and His devotees? And with faith and confidence in the glory of the Lord, we can give our heart to the loving service of His devotees. And we can chant the holy name with great faith. That is the conclusion of all the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam. So let us hear regularly, let us understand, and let us apply these principles to our life. To apply these principles in our life, jnana and vairagya. Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshashtame ka purusha purana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Himself has come to teach Bhagavad Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy in this age. And He has taught us, according to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vairagya vidya nija bhakti yoga shikshashtame ka purusha purana. He has taught us the principle of vairagya, renunciation. He has taught us the principle of vidya, knowledge. And He has taught us the principle of bhakti, or devotion. Vairagya means to accept whatever is favorable to devotional service. Vairagya essentially means vyabhashakaya buddhi ekeha kuru nandana bahushakaya nantashta buddhaya vyabhashayana. Vairagya means to accept the order of Guru as one's life and soul. That I'll put everything else aside, and whatever Guru wants, I have faith, and I will do it. That is Vairagya. Vairagya doesn't mean being a brahmachari, sannyasi, grihastha, or vanaprast. Vairagya doesn't mean fasting without water on ekadasis. These are just little tiny parts of Vairagya. But they are all factually external, unless we are obedient to the order of Guru. That is the real Vairagya. That is the ultimate Vairagya. And Vidya, knowledge. Knowledge means to understand things as they are, not to calculate things according to our own perception or according to our own conditioned thoughts of what is right, what is wrong, what will give me happiness, what will not give me happiness, what will create bondage, what will create liberation. We do not know any of these things. Who are we to think that we know? Vidya, knowledge, is born from humility. Prani prasnena sevaya. When we approach the Guru submissively and simply follow his instruction, that is knowledge. Acharyopasanam, one who hears from Acharya, he knows things as they are. That is knowledge. Knowledge comes from God, not from us. Dharmam tu sikshat bhagavat puranitam. And bhakti? Bhakti means the process which is the only means of approaching the Lord. Bhakti means to surrender. With that vairagya, with that knowledge, we use it all simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojata jnana vairagyosu. Krishna explains in Bhagavatam, Śrīla Gosvāmī, that one who engages in the process of bhakti, of surrendering to the Lord, automatically all knowledge and all renunciation is manifest in such a person. Therefore Krishna says, sarva dharman parityuja, just surrender to me. Just become the servant of my servant of my servant. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught, this is the meaning of surrender, to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. And then all the power and all the glory of God is there to lift us and to protect us. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.